The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus told his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know the Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask for anything, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, and please be seated. If you were to ask or were able to ask God one question, what would that be? Just think about it for a moment. Because questions are an important part of how we get along with each other and how we get to know each other, how we get to know about situations. And it's no wonder that the Gospel of John is full of questions, lots and lots of questions. We begin the story with Andrew in the beginning of the Gospel of John that says to Jesus, "Where are you staying?" That's a really interesting question. The other question we hear right away is Nicodemus. Remember the story of Nicodemus when he's asking Jesus, "How do I get into my mother's womb the second time and get reborn again?" And the third one, of course, was a Samaritan woman who wanted to know, "What is this thing Jesus is talking about, this living water? Where can I get it?" and so forth. And then the rest of the gospel goes on by saying that Peter asked questions and Pilate asked questions and on and on and on. But in today's reading, there's one question that really is very difficult for them to answer and for us to answer. What do I mean? Well, let me begin by telling you that the reading that we're doing today comes on a Thursday. It is the Thursday which we call Maundy Thursday. Maybe some of you were able to be with us on Maundy Thursday, which means it's the day which Jesus washes the feet of the disciples. He was having dinner with his disciples, and he's telling his disciples basically what's going to happen. That, you know, he's going to be betrayed and he's going to be, crucified and so forth. And the disciples are up in arms. And so what we hear at that point is, you know, he tells them, "Please trust me. Please trust me." And then the first thing that happens, the first word that comes out of Thomas after Jesus continues on his story, when Jesus says to him, "You know the way." And Thomas says, "Excuse me, I don't think so. I don't know the way. We don't know the way. What are you talking about?" And so Jesus tries to win them over by trying to tell them that the way to Jesus and the way that he's talking about is in trusting in Jesus. Now, what happens at this point is what we start to see and get is a sense of how these individuals are feeling, because at this point, their whole world is shattering. They're with Jesus, and all of their confidence and all of their trust in Jesus seems to be falling apart. It's a place that perhaps we've been, a place we've been in our own lives when we wonder whether this catastrophe is going to be over. We wonder when this horrible experience or this uncertain period of time is going to go on, and will it ever end? And so these questions are really searching. They're deep probing questions that are going on. And finally, I think what happens is Philip can't take it anymore. And so Philip says to Jesus, "Show us the Father and we'll believe you." And I think that that is the major question that's being raised in the gospel today. Show us the Father and I'll believe you. And this is at the heart of our message. This is at the heart of the Christian faith, because showing God is something that was not possible for the Jewish mind. In the Jewish period of time there, God was too big. God was too immense. God was too indescribable. And so you cannot even conceive it. We know the story of Moses. Remember when Moses was on the mount after he had made up with God after the golden calf, and he says, show me your face. And God says, I can't do that. I can put you in a cleft of a rock, and I can pass by you, and at the last minute you can see my glory, but you're going to see the backside of what I am, because you cannot see me and live. And what we see there is a desire that is rooted in all of our hearts, in all of our minds, to see God. Well, how many of us would want to see God? How many of us would look in the sunset and say, I would love to see? Do you ever see those things on Facebook? Sometimes they have a little cloud that looks like an angel. You ever see those? Or a sunset, and you see the brilliance of a sunset, and somebody says, well, look at that. That must be God's face of the earth. And we're always trying to find the face of God. And so the disciples are really asking that. And I imagine that was blasphemous at that time. Because you don't ask that. A good Jew will never ask, show me God. Because they are not to see God by their eyes. They are to see God by their ears and by their heart and by their trust. It's a whole different orientation. And so Jesus at that point begins to explain to them that he is the Son of God. That he is God. That he represents what God does. And he begins to show them and teach them. And it's something that we have to constantly remind ourselves that the way he's explaining it to the disciples is the way we have to try and wrestle with it in our own lives. He says, when you see me, you see the Father. Not so much the acts, not so much everything, but what I do. And remember that this is a time in which Jesus is going to be crucified. This is the last time that he's going to be on earth with his friends. And it's the last moment in which he's sharing with these guys the most important part of who he is and what he believes. And he's going to go to the death. I don't know if you've ever talked to anybody just about to go to death or something like that. That is a horrible experience. And you wonder what is the most important things on their minds. And it's clear to me that the disciples and who we are on the top of the list for him. And because Jesus goes and he goes to die. Now, he doesn't go to die because there's a vengeful God that wants blood as a way of propitiating and satisfying some kind of old vendetta that he has with humanity. It's not because this is the way all Christians should act. It's not a transactional act in which Jesus is filling because there's the payment of sin has to be made. No. It is because the love of God is so great that God will give himself to whatever extent to reach us, to touch us, to awaken in us a sense of vulnerability and love that he has tried to communicate throughout the entire Torah, throughout the entire book of the Bible. The way we see God and get God in our instincts is to be able to touch the base of our own vulnerability. How many of us have questioned things in our own life? So especially things when you hear questions like your doctor calls you back and he says, the cancer has come back. Or you hear of somebody in your family who suddenly died. Or your lover says, I'm through with you. We're finished. Where do you go from that kind of experience? Where do you move? What searching questions do you come up with to try and satisfy and make your life meaningful in the midst of this horrible experience? And so Jesus is trying to teach these people that being a faithful Christian, being a believer in God, is not a fairy tale. This is not something that is a wishy-washy kind of thing. This is not something that we hope for, that we dream about. This is a reality. And we get the reality and the vulnerability of God's love that goes through no extent to be able to give himself for us, to convince us that on that level, God will do anything for you and for me. Anything. That's a whole different orientation that God is teaching us today. We always assume that God is all-powerful, omniscient, and all these wonderful philosophical arguments that we bring up about God, and he becomes even more untouchable, more unrecognizable, more distant to us. But when you see a God who's vulnerable, a God who can be wounded by your neglect, a God who can be wounded by your insults, and a God who can be turned off and destroyed by your own will, that puts the onus of the relationship in a different frame. That puts the onus of the relationship on you and on me. God has done everything that God could to try and convince you of his love. He goes to this extent now to the death on the cross to show us that nothing in the world prevents him from loving you and nothing in the world prevents him from taking you for granted, and we still don't get it. My God, when will we get it? When we are on our deathbed, when our own beloved is dying, when we come into a catastrophe that we can't figure out, these are the moments in which you finally wake up and look with our eyes at the truth of our being. We're finite creatures. We pass through this world like a shadow. And the hardest thing we try to figure out is, why the hell am I here? Why am I here? What's the purpose of what I'm doing in this world? And it's a relationship that God, you have to be born into that relationship. Many of us will learn that this kind of reality comes in the second part of our lives. The first part of our lives, we spend trying to work and trying to do things, trying to accomplish our lives, become professional, maybe be able to raise a family, finish our schools, become established. But the second half of your life, when you've done everything that the culture tells you to do, and you've got all these cultural acolytes and everything else, the next part of your life is, what does it mean? Who am I? Where's the real truth about what my life means? Am I just a functionary making money, producing children, eating and sleeping? Or is my life more than that? And that life becomes a relationship with God that is eminent through the relationship with everyone else that you engage in, with nature, with everything around you. It's a ripple effect of grace that starts with you and goes into all of creation. But it begins with the real question. You want to see God? Look in the face of another person. You want to see God? Look in the face of the broken. You want to see God? Look at the face of the oppressed. Look at those that have been cast out by society. Look at those who are weak and still believe and still love. Look at the face of a child, my God, who never, never gives up. He can be knocked down, and the resilience of this child is unbelievable. They get up and they try again. They move again. They believe again. They trust again. Why can't we? We give up. We suddenly know it all. Suddenly we know all the experiences of life. Everything is fine. I know exactly what's going to happen. You can't tell me I don't believe in this God, or I don't believe in all this grace crap that you're talking about. But you know, that's an ignorance and a shell and a protection that people use because they cannot directly experience the experience of vulnerability. But in your vulnerability is your power. Because in your vulnerability, you're released from all of these fears, and you're released from all of these pretensions, and you're released from all of these hallucinatory ideas, because you know that you know from the inside that you are a child of God, and God loves you and wants you and believes in you and is beckoning you into relationship. This is why Jesus gave that answer. When you see me, you see God. And doesn't that sound like just the weirdest statement you've ever heard? I mean, who can say that that's true? Especially the disciples who were fearing death. But it's for us to see that. It's for us to put ourselves in that place of utter, utter uncertainty. To find ourselves naked before truth. Vulnerable before reality and not have any sense of recourse to experience the depth that God goes to reach you. That's the wonderful gift that he offers us during this time, to show us that he was made one of us, just like you and me. He eats. He probably does everything else. Just like you and me. But there's one thing that he has. It's the passion. It's the commitment. It's the belief. It's the love. It's everything that he has shown us that we have to understand we are able and capable of doing too. We are able and capable of living as well. He's not a distant figure. He's not this pedestaled God that we cannot reach only by bending our knees. He's a God that we meet day to day, a God that we encounter in moments of real humanness, all to humanness. This is the God that we touch. This is the God that we embrace. This is the God we weep with. This is the God that walks with us in the darkest moments. This is the God who we can rely on, who will never abandon us. It's a whole different orientation. So Jesus went off and he died, as we well know. But today, in the last 5 weeks that we've been celebrating that resurrection, because you know why? Love is stronger than death. Love will always conquer death. Thank God. I wouldn't want to be in a world that didn't. When love trumps death, you are certain that there is something more powerful than the realities that make us shake and make us feel invalidated and feel vulnerable. This love of God is something that will lift us up in the moments that we least expect it and when we least feel capable of. And it will give us a whole new orientation of a new way of being. How many of us have been in our wit's end and at that moment finally we see? I mean, you finally get to see the truth when you finally feel like you've lost something, when it's turning away from you, or when it's left you, or you can't do anything about it. These are the moments in which we are face to face with the human nature that we are. And it opens our eyes up. We see deeper than ever before. We know somehow that life is really fragile. It's only a passing gift that we hold with trembling hands, but we know that something more is there, that there's a deeper presence. If you get there, you get the beginning of what Jesus is trying to get us to understand. That moment when you see deep into life and you realize that it's larger than you, you're free. Because you realize you're part of that life. Amen.